You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's a trap!
Good!
It's out! Blast them!
Goodness gracious me!
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
All right, cut the chatter.
Wah! That got him!
He's no good to me dead.
There is great disturbance in the Force.
The shield is down! Hey, Jedi craves not these things.
Mos Eisley Spaceport.
This is madness!
You must learn the ways of the Force.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 27 of Caster Quest. This is a very special episode where we're doing a crossover. This is Mandy.
This is Travis.
And this episode is going to be called Pop Caster Rewind.
It's hard to say it. That rewind, it kind of sticks out.
Pop Caster Rewind.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks for having me over. I appreciate it. I know we've been talking about doing this for a while.
Let me introduce you to my audience. Travis is what we like to lovingly refer to as our brother podcaster.
Oh.
Yeah. He actually lives right down the street. We found him through the Houston Podcasters Network, and he has two podcasts. You want to talk about them?
Oh, sure. Well, since I'm here. I started off with a wrestling podcast with two buddies of mine. It's called Houston Wrestling Radio, and you can find that on HoustonWrestlingRadio.com. But we just cover, it's a weekly show where we just cover all sorts of wrestling news and reviews and stuff like that. That's been going on for about 3 years. The more recent one I started, it's more or less me and another buddy, Xavier. It's called Pop Culture Rewind. Basically, it started off as a place to just talk about old movies and TV shows, things like that, from the 80s and 90s, things like that. But lately, we've been doing more recent stuff. So just kind of broaden the horizon a little bit and cover more ground. But that's at popculturerewind.com as well. And on both of those, they're on Facebook and Twitter and iTunes and Stitcher. And
all that good stuff.
All that good stuff, yeah. But this is about me. This is about what we're doing tonight on Cast Request.
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's like half and half.
Yes, yeah.
So the first time I met Travis in person, he started asking me all these really personal questions, like, how many downloads does your show get?
That's what I do. I'm very impersonal, and I'll invade your personal space like that.
You know I'm new to this. It's not fair.
Well, no, hey, I've have that first podcast for about 3 years, but trust me, we are not professionals.
Yeah. Compared to the sapling that is springing forth from the earth, that is Caster Quest, Pop Culture Rewind and Houston Wrestling Radio is the mighty oak just throwing shade on my
head. you flatter me. No, stop.
Comparatively.
Well, comparatively.
It's no NPR, but.
Yeah, well, who is, right?
NPR.
Yeah, NPR is, yeah. So, what do they know anyways?
Travis has graciously agreed to step in and help me out for my end of the year podcasting because Aaron abandoned me to go to Europe to go bang her boyfriend for like 2 uninterrupted weeks.
Ouch.
Thanks, Aaron. Hope you're having a great time. Miss you. But we've actually been talking about having this episode for a couple of weeks, and we said, you know what, we're going to do a big thing that we could both cover, Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yes, yes, because I wanted to do a Force Awakens review or recap on my show, but like I just said, we do more, you know, older stuff, you know, on our show. So it wouldn't really fit in on my show, but you, my friend, you do all kinds of stuff on this show, and I think doing a review of Force Awakens on this show, that'd be really good.
Yeah, and I would encourage people, before you listen to this episode, you can actually go back and listen to Pop Culture Rewind did an episode called The Nostalgia Awakens.
No. The Nostalgia Strikes Back.
The Nostalgia Strikes Back.
Yes, that's we covered the original trilogy, the good trilogy, the only trilogy worth talking about for Star Wars. And if you disagree, let me know. I'll be glad to counter that. But yeah, we covered the original trilogy and just talked about growing up in the 80s and 90s, more or less in the 80s with Star Wars all around us and stuff like that, so...
So he had asked me when we first started like putting our heads together about this episode. He goes, "How big of a Star Wars geek are you? Are you into Star Wars at all?" And I didn't say anything. And then he texted me back and he goes, "You know, I just realized your logo was a Boba Fett helmet, so I'm going to rescind that question."
Yeah. That was, yeah.
But I answered him and I said, to be fair, The original trilogy is great. I went to the midnight releases of episode 1, 2, and 3. We all know what that was.
We don't need to go there.
Yeah. I mean, it was as good as, you know, Avatar: The Last Airbender, the live action movie.
Oof. Yeah.
But, that being said, I do have a special place in my heart for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Boba Fett. Boba Fett, he's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I have a whole shelf full of Boba Fett memorabilia. I've met the guy who played Boba Fett. But more than anything about Star Wars was I loved the culture and the fans.
Yeah.
And like what grew up around Star Wars, because that was probably, looking back, like one of the first franchises that really just gripped the population, like the nerd population. Mm-hmm. And then it just flourished.
Right.
I mean, you could say Star Trek, and I'm not saying Star Trek.
No, we can't.
Oh. Going back to that war.
Ah, they had it coming.
If it was Star Trek versus Star Wars, I'd have to say Star Wars. Sorry, Trekkies.
Yeah. Stupid Trekkies.
Yeah, not that I don't enjoy some Picard, but we're getting off on a tangent here.
Yeah. Actually, the Star Trek Beyond looks pretty decent.
That's right. They played that trailer, right?
Yeah.
That was ballsy.
It was ballsy. I was actually, when it played on, because I'd seen a trailer before I went there. So as soon as the trailer starts and they're playing Sabotage in the background, I was like, oh, I know what they're doing. So I was like trying to listen to like the audience to see if like anybody is like catcalling or anything like that in the audience or anything. But
I think more than anything, I was just really thrilled with the fact that they put a Beastie Boys song to the trailer.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and plus it's a throwback to the first movie, too.
Yeah, I got to give them points for that.
Yeah. But again, no, yeah, we're talking too much about Star Trek.
So here's what we're going to cover in this episode. We're going to tell you our spoiler policy, and then we're going to take a short break, and then we'll get into it. In this episode, we are going to be talking Star Wars: The Force Awakens. We are going to be spoilerific. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, I'd hate to tell you this, but go ahead and turn us off until you watch the film.
No. Don't turn it off. Pause it. Pause it for about 3 hours. Give you time to go to the movie theater, watch it, and then hit unpause.
And then play. And you know what? Just take your phone with you, and then hit the unpause button on your way home.
Well, no, while the movie's going. Just to be that one person in the audience.
Oh, I had one of those people.
Did you?
Yeah, I told you about her.
Yeah.
So, we're going to cover that. I'm going to take just a minute when that's done to do some plugs, because I just launched a new shop today.
Ooh.
Yes. So, we'll talk about that. And then also, I'll do a quick... because this is the only episode I'm probably going to be doing this week, and I need to do it at some point. I'm going to be talking about our cosplayers of the month.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. They've actually already been announced. I just haven't done it on the air. So we're going to give them that heads up. We'll be right back after this short break with Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Hello, Marvel Universe! The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
I wonder if your feelings on this matter are clear.
All right, welcome back. I have seen Star Wars The Force Awakens once. I went to go see it. I didn't get the midnight screening, unfortunately. That was all sold out. But Lynn and I managed to go catch it the day it came out on that Friday. Theater was packed. Mm-hmm. Honestly, really surprised that there were even still tickets available because I was sitting in my garage drinking some moonshine I had picked up from a gas station in Alabama. And I got real drunk and I was just like, I wonder if there's tickets available. So I... looked it up, and there was. And I called Lynn, and I was like, look at the movies. And we stopped at Walmart and got candy, because it's cheaper that way.
Yeah. And everybody, who doesn't do that?
We snuck in some Smirnoff screwdrivers, and we sat down to enjoy the film.
And what do you recall of the film?
Enough.
Okay. Well, I saw the movie Saturday morning. The weekend it came out. So I wait like at least 2 weeks before I see like a big release movie. Cause I did not want to fight any crowds and I was just, ugh.
You're not a crowd person.
No, crowds, forget them. I make exceptions every once in a while. If it's like a con, you know, cause I can walk around. I'm not stuck in a room with them for 2 hours.
Once that con stank starts sort of getting overwhelming, you can sort of remove yourself.
And yeah. I don't have to explain this to you. Yeah, you know.
I've been there.
But anyway, I saw it Saturday morning. Surprisingly, let me back up. I got there like an hour before it started because I was, in my mind, I was thinking it's going to be lines and this and that. And no, I walked right up to the box office, got my ticket, and walked right in, and there was maybe 20 people in there. And then by the time the movie started, of course, it had filled up by then, but I had my good seat. I was like, right smack in the middle. So, not so bad. Not so bad showing there. And then I did go back and watch it a second time, a couple days later, to get a different perspective on it. And I had my wife with me at that time, too. So, this is her first time. I couldn't wait for her. Sorry.
Honestly, I've got kind of a confession, and I felt sort of bad about it because I already told how I was drunk. Well, we had been talking, you and I, about going to see it. Mm-hmm. And we kept trying to like come up with a plan.
Right.
And it's just like, well, when's good for you? We'll see how it works out. And so I tried texting you mm-hmm. and calling you to mm-hmm. see if you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And you didn't answer. Mm-hmm. And then later when I sobered up, I realized I had texted and called the wrong phone number.
I'm glad you're saying that and saying that I didn't answer your phone call, but
no, yeah. it was on me. That was my bad. Then I was just like, I was supposed to go with Travis. I feel real bad about this. Not so bad that it stopped me from going, but I didn't tell you that I had gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the next day when you were like, I can't believe there's still tickets available. I'm going to this movie. I'm like, you son of a bitch. You went without me. You didn't even ask.
Well, priorities and all and whatnot.
I felt a little relieved that you went ahead and took care of it.
Well, look, we all make plans sometimes to do a different thing or, you know, get together, whatever. But, you know, everybody has kind of got their own schedule going. So I figured, hey, we'll go see. Well, as long as we see the movie, that's the important thing. And then we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
The relief was palpable.
Well, I'm sorry to put you through all that anguish.
I'm like, I'm a terrible person, man. He was this budding friendship, and I just kicked it right in the face. Went to the movies without him.
Man, I could really had you going there for a second, too, about how hurt and devastated it was. But
yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
Your heart looked just shattered for a moment.
Yeah.
You've seen it more than I have. Tell me what you thought about it. You've got the show notes.
I do have show notes because, admittedly, I have a crappy memory. So when I was driving home from the theater, I was like talking to myself, literally, just, okay, this happened, this happened, this happened. I didn't like this. I didn't like this. And then I was like for the whole, you know, whole drive home. And then I got home, got my notepad, and I started writing everything down because I wanted to keep that, my initial thoughts you know, I don't want to lose those over the course of time.
You wanted them to be fresh.
Yeah, exactly. So, I did that. I will say, and I'll probably bring this up later, that the second viewing of Star Wars, actually left a different impression on me. For the better, actually. Because the first one, may not have the best reviews from me, but, the second time, not so bad. But do you want to go first on some of the, what you liked from it, the highlights from it, or how do you want to do this?
I'm going to talk a little bit about watching the film premiere, not watching the film itself, but watching the world watch it come out.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook, days beforehand, you got the two factions. You got the person that said, if you spoil Star Wars for me, I am going to unfriend you. I'm going to kick your puppy across the street. You know, I'm going to slay your firstborn child. Don't spoil Star Wars for me. And then you've got the other people that thought it was funny, and they're all like, don't spoil Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked for me. And they were kind of like making fun of the Star Wars people, or they were making fun of like people being all butthurt about potential spoilers. And no offense, because being spoiled sucks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd unfriend somebody over it. I'd like to think that none of my friends are like assholes enough to spoil people on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just a whole other level of person that.
Now, I know people on Facebook that would unintentionally spoil, and then they get called out for it. Like my co-host, Chris.
No, Chris, why?
Yeah.
I thought you were cool.
He did wait about a week, but he, you know those stupid little, you know, on Facebook, they always have those little take your quiz of who you'd be or what you do and things like that. He did one for Star Wars, and the answer was, his response, I think, was Han Solo. And then, spoiler alert, we're about to get into it here. He says, oh, well, I guess I should be looking forward to someone stabbing me in the chest.
Yikes.
So, it's like, thanks, buddy. Because, you know, had I done my usual thing and waited to see the movie, that would have been a spoiler for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, to your point, I did say, on Facebook, on Thursday at 7 o'clock, I put a little meme up there on Facebook, and I said, okay, I'm signing off from Facebook and Twitter until I see the movie, because I don't trust anybody about spoiling anything.
Yeah.
Adios. And I didn't go on until after I saw the movie.
And everybody's like, don't be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be the guy, the spoiler Samuel.
Don't be the jerk.
Yeah. Pretty much everybody on my friends list, well, everybody that saw it, was really great about it. Mm-hmm. So thanks, guys. They went to go see the movie. And it kind of felt like everybody went to a big party and you had to stay home because you were sick or you didn't get invited or for whatever reason. And through the magic of social media, you get to watch everybody else experience this and have fun without you. And they're all like, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm happy with it. Or it was good. Or it was great. Or you need to go see it. You know, or I'm watching it again.
I told, like, anybody asked me if it was good. I said, I've seen it. I'm not going to say if it's good or bad because I didn't want to have any kind of impression, on whether it's a good movie or not. So, but I think we've kind of danced around the topic for a while. So let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it, shall we? I do have some positives out of the movie. The first one being the look and feel of the original trilogy. J.J. Abrams, he did a great job of bringing the kind of the cinematography back to the original, using as practical as possible on his effects. No CGI creatures or anything. It's all puppets and makeup and you can see it. Like you could seeing that kind of stuff. And I've heard other people say it kind of brought a smile to their face, like seeing the visuals of how he did everything, even stuff you've seen on the trailers too, like the inside cockpit view of the X-Wing fighters and the TIE fighters and everything. And, just stuff like that. And it just kind of brought you back to, you know,
a simpler time.
Yeah.
A time before George Lucas put out special editions.
The special editions. We talked about those on on the episode. But yeah, this was, just the look and feel. Let's go into the opening scene.
The crawl.
Yeah. I mean, anytime
you had to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, how shocking would it have been? Was there a little part of you that thought, what if they don't do the crawl?
Oh, there'd be a riot, I'm sure.
Yeah. you could feel right before it came on just that tension, mm-hmm. just the building excitement, mm-hmm. and they all just holding their breath. Is it going to happen? Yeah. Are you going to get that?
Yeah. And that's as soon as you see that, you're like, oh, yes. Okay. Cause you know what's coming and you kind of.
And you just get, you like came a little.
Pre-com, but yeah. That's nasty. All right. So, but yeah, you get the crawl and you get the story of what's been going on. But, you know, just seeing different things like, the stormtroopers and when they went back to, like the First Order's base, whatever you see, it looks very similar, like the white and black, very clean, yeah. for lack of a better word, monotone.
they kept the color palette the yeah. way you were expecting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all that was really great. Of course, anytime they would reveal a returning character or object. Hey, let me ask you this: the first time they show the Millennium Falcon. Did the audience?
Oh yeah,
They went bananas, right? Yeah, and it was a good setup too because they were just running. They're running away from some TIE fighters shooting at them.
That's not how you expected to come across.
It. Yeah, but they just kind of they mentioned it off, but you didn't know what they're talking about. They said, "What about that? That ship over there? No, that's a piece of junk. No, we can do this one over here." And that one gets blown up. You know, like, okay, we'll go to this piece of junk over here, and they turn and you see it, and the way the camera pans. And you see the reveal of it. It worked beautifully. Yeah. But that was just like one of the big reveals of the movie. There's of course the big returning stars as well. You know, the first one being Han Solo, Harrison Ford, and Chewbacca. You know, everybody forgets about Chewbacca.
I don't know if that's true. I had some people that are like, if anything happens to Chewbacca, we're gonna riot in the streets.
Well, he did you get worried? Because there was that one scene he'd get shot. Like they're
Chewbacca. I mean, Chewbacca's like, yeah, you could like shoot a tree, and it might hurt it, but that tree's still gonna be there. That's kind of how I feel about Chewbacca. He's always gonna be around.
Fair enough. Okay.
I hope I didn't jinx that.
Oh yeah. So we got Han Solo. He was back. Harrison Ford.
We're still on the pros. We'll come back.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back. We'll come back to that. Yeah. And then of course, Carrie Fisher as a General Leia. Yeah, which that was a cool scene. Her coming out of the ship and them kind of eyeing each other, you know, and then C-3PO just pops up.
That was great.
That was better than the reveal of Leia.
That was great. C-3PO.
That got a laugh. That got
like
a big
Jack in the Box.
Right? Yeah, it worked. Yeah, and it wasn't like over campy or anything. It served its purpose. And
I don't know what happened to his arm.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah. Let's see. Later on, there was R2-D2. That actually got a kind of a loud pop whenever I was in the theater. I don't know why, because at that point we had seen all these other returns, but for some reason R2-D2 got the big, the big sigh of joy that he's there.
I don't know. I guess he's just. I mean, they're all beloved characters.
Yeah.
But for some reason, R2-D2, at least more than C-3PO, maybe because he's just not as, like, yappy.
Yeah.
You know, because all he does is, like, cute little beeps and whistles and...
I don't know. If you listen to C-3PO, I mean, R2's, like, cussing him out every couple of times.
Well, it's true, but, he's like your sassy friend that everybody thinks is adorable, as opposed to, like, the sassy friend that everybody finds a little obnoxious.
He's got a little sass in him. That's all.
But we keep him around because he's useful.
Right. Did you notice the other little background characters there? We had Admiral Ackbar.
Well, yeah. How could you miss Ackbar?
And
he hasn't aged a day.
Right. I know he looks good for his age. Right.
Great. Yeah.
What did you think about Daisy Ridley as Rey?
I thought she did a really good job, really great job actually, because she made the. Focus from, and I'm not saying that in the original trilogy, like Leia wasn't a badass, but I mean, a lot of the heroic stuff Han, Luke, Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from a girl's perspective, it all kind of went to the guys a little bit.
Yeah.
Now we've got Daisy Ridley coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And she made it seem almost so seamless.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like...
Well, a little too seamless. I'll get that later.
Girls are good at stuff, too.
No, I think I know what you're going with that. There's that scene when Finn sees her for the first time, and she's kind of got that little scuffle with his two guys who are trying to take a BB-8. And he thinks he needs to save her. And as he's going over there, she starts kicking their asses. And he's like, oh, okay, well, never mind. So I think that's your point, right?
Yeah, it was really clever how mm-hmm. they did it. Cause it's just like, here's this tough little girl who grew up, like a street rat scrounging around, and she's street smart, but mm-hmm. she's also sexy, but she doesn't know it if she would just let her hair down.
I think that was in the description of the character. Yes.
Yeah. But no, she did a really good job.
Yeah, I was actually impressed with her. I thought she did great for her job, you know?
I didn't know, I mean, none of us knew what to expect from her.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I just realized you've got Professor Umbridge's kitten plates on your back wall. Oh my god.
Those are my wives.
They're amazing. I'm going to take a picture of that and put them on the blog.
As long as it's, okay, well. Are you mocking me?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm going to be very complimentary.
Okay.
All right. No, Daisy Ridley was great. We didn't know what to expect from her, and she just sort of took the ball and started running with it.
Or the BB-8.
There you go. She took the ball-shaped droid.
That's another pro about this movie, BB-8. Before this movie came out, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be like Jar Jar or something. This is going to be like the character that's going to be over the top. He's going to be in every scene. It's going to drive me crazy. I know it.
I had to confess. I was afraid of the same thing too. I'm like, man, what is this thing?
Devil's advocate, even for Jar Jar, you got to have that one thing that attracts the kids. But at the same time, what someone would say would be, you can do that, but you don't need to alienate anyone of your audience. And that's what Jar Jar did. BB-8, I think he was just enough to where he didn't get on anybody's nerves. When I was watching my wife, and she, like, there's a couple of scenes where he's kind of looking down, or he's got Star Wars does a weird thing where they can make droids, even if it's just beeps and bops or whatever, they can sound sad. Yeah. And I think there was a scene where he does that, and he kind of makes a noise, and he kind of looks down, and my wife is like, aw. So when you're able to do that...
It's a trash can. You feel sorry for the trash can?
the magic movies, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thumbs up to BB-8. Not a thumbs up, but what did you do? A little torch thing? Yeah. Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed BB-8.
Yes.
And I expected to not.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the pleasant surprise of the movie for me, for sure. We have another newcomer, Finn.
Finn.
Played by John Boyega. What are your thoughts on him?
I liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the comic relief that he was putting out was a little heavy sometimes.
A little?
A little. I feel like his character development, I don't want to say he didn't earn it, but it felt a little rushed at points.
Mm-hmm.
Especially...
Like, where were they going with him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing is he left me wondering, like, what exactly... What are you going to do? Are you love interest? Are you potential Jedi? Are you a potential betrayer? Because maybe you're a sleeping stormtrooper agent, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this whole, like... PTSD remorse thing that you had is just an act? I mean, who knows?
You know, and going back to the story of everything, the movie starts off with some kind of like stormtrooper death squad or whatever coming down this planet, basically to wipe out this whole village.
Yeah, well, you've got new Han Solo.
Oh, I like how you did that. Yes, yes, because that, there's a new Han.
That was my first thought.
Yeah.
New Han Solo.
Yeah.
New cool pilot guy.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. And if you didn't get that, there was that one little bit, that scene, which is pretty funny. It was kind of the first, like, laugh out loud moment, when they got him down and Kylo Ren, we'll get to him in a second, but he kind of leans down and he kind of stares at him for a second, and Poe's just like, so what do we do here? Do I talk first? Do you talk first? I mean, what, you know, so that kind of gives you a sense of his attitude. So.
I just leaned over to Lynn and I was like, they're going to kiss, right? They need to kiss. They're so awkwardly close right now.
But yeah, Poe Dameron, I think is his last name, Dameron. He's played by Oscar Isaac, which Oscar's had a good year this year. Ex Machina, did you see that movie?
I haven't.
No, I saw it. It was, they have it for free on Amazon Prime if anybody's, you know, has a subscription to that. But I've heard good things about the movie, so I checked it out. Eh, it's okay. But he was good in that movie. I really dug his character. I don't know what it was about him. He just had something about him that I was like, I like this guy.
Suave, cool, rugged, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Like a fox.
Whoa. Like a Star Fox?
Oh.
Yeah. Because he's a pilot. See, in space.
See? I see exactly what you did with that.
Uh-huh. See? Only the cool people got that reference. Yeah. But yeah, definitely the new Han Solo.
Well, and also, come on, leather jacket.
Right?
I mean, just put some shades on that guy and, like, call it a day. I just want, like, a cigarette, like, tucked behind one of his ears.
Oh, I'm sure it's in a deleted scene somewhere.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Man, this guy's cool.
The freaking...
Too cool.
The freaking James Dean of Star Wars, right? Yeah. There's one thing I did like, which could also be construed as a con as well, too, but they didn't tell us everything. As far as the story-wise goes.
Well, I mean, I guess they had to leave some threads dangling.
Yeah, well, they left a lot. But but some of them, like, they left a lot of stuff open, like the whole Rey's family, you know.
Pretty much all of Rey's family.
Right, yeah. You know, what kind of family would leave a little girl stranded in a desert wasteland planet, you know, with nobody there?
I imagine probably the same kind of family that thinks it'd be a good idea to drop their kid off at Michael Jackson's house for a weekend slumber party.
You make a good argument there. Yes, yes, very true. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
We'll be right back.
Cut to all those little marks on the wall she was carving in. Poor thing. She thinks that someone's going to come for her.
My question is, I mean, okay, yeah. Well, she's living inside just this hollow out AT-AT bunker, which gigantic on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that, but it's like nobody else is staying in this AT-AT. That being said, like, who raised you when you were a little kid? Because you were a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you survive?
In a desert wasteland.
Yeah, because a little girl all by herself, I mean, not to get too creepy with it, but that's just ripe for...
Something you wouldn't see in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, all kinds of terrible potential. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, so she's
just let your imaginations run wild on we're, that.
Or don't, whichever. It's but she's a tough cookie, we'll say it like that.
That's where her toughness comes
mm-hmm,
from.
Mm-hmm. Have you been reading any of the... I'm sorry, we're going off here for a second, but have you read any of the new Star Wars comics from Marvel?
No.
No?
No.
I bought a couple of them. I started reading one of them, and I just stopped. I was trying to find some kind of maybe connection or more information leading into Force Awakens. I didn't get anything, so...
Well, there was an uproar among some people about how a lot of the expanded universe got essentially canceled out
mm-hmm,
yeah. by the whole Disney Star Wars merger.
Yeah, because Lucasfilm, they actually acknowledged all the expanded stuff, expanded universe, the books, the everything. And when Marvel bought them out, just like Marvel and Disney, like no, right? That's
yeah.
We don't approve that.
I mean, George Lucas was already allegedly working on a script or a plot line or something for Episode 7, and allegedly when Disney bought it, they're all like, you like that? Okay, that's nice, George. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Let's just put this over here next to the garbage. But it makes you wonder, like, did any of that actually carry over? Did they carry over some of the expanded universe? Because there's rumors.
From what I've read...
There's speculation.
Everything I've seen online says that anything that George Lucas contributed or wanted to contribute got vetoed.
Fair enough. So I don't blame him.
They saw the last three movies he's done, and like, you know what? Thanks, George. Thanks for your ideas, but I think we'll do our own thing. Thanks.
Episode 7, Rise of the Gungans.
Yeah. Thanks, George. We'll don't call us. We'll call you.
We're just going to go ahead and write you this check. All right. There you go. Piss off.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass. Or do. I don't care. Whatever.
That's another thing that I just did want to mention. How do you think George Lucas feels right now? This was his.
Mm-hmm.
This was his baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it became what it became.
Yeah.
And then it became a monster.
Yeah.
And then everybody was glad to see you gone from it.
He was
How
actually.
How does that feel?
Well, he was actually on an interview recently. I think it was Charlie Rose, and he actually said that it this whole thing felt like a messy divorce, and Star Wars is the children that went into the other custody. So,
well, I'm sure he's wiping those tears away with $100 bills. So he came out of it pretty okay.
Yeah. Apparently, he gave all that money away, or most of the money away, to some kind of charity, I think.
To be fair, does he need it?
I doubt it.
Yeah. I mean, he could be like, have the movies, have the franchise, give me 5% of the merchandising. And he'd still live like a king for the rest of the end of the universe.
They're not going
to
fall for that again. Come on. That's what they did on the first one.
No.
Fool me once, George. You ain't going to fool me twice. Okay, so where were we? Star Wars. Yeah, Force Awakens. Kylo Ren. Where do you want to start on this guy?
All right. Are we to the cons already?
We can be if you want to, but there's, I mean.
I'm going to pull up what it was that you said to me.
Oh, God.
Because right after Travis saw the movie, he messaged me with 4.
Observations?
Yeah. Observation number 1. It should be called The Coincidence Awakens. Because the first act of the film was all luck.
Yeah. Do you want to expand on that? I mean,
you expand on it. You're the one who said it.
Fair enough. Okay. So, okay. Let's talk about that for a second. We mentioned they find the Millennium Falcon. First of all, they throw it out there. It hasn't flown in years. What's the first thing they're able to do? Turn it on and go.
Fly it.
So, no problem, right? And let's not to mention, she's a pilot. Coincidentally enough, that she's never flown before.
Like, she knows how to fly. There's no, like, backstory of, like, how is it she knows how to fly?
No.
I mean, I get it. She's been poking around machines her whole life.
Right. She knows of the ship. She's seen the ship, but she's never flown in years.
I mean, I cook steaks all the time. That doesn't mean I can butcher a cow.
Nicely done, yes. Yeah, that's a good... Okay, that's coincidence number 1. In the same lines, well, actually, a little bit before that, the first scene I was talking about, the stormtroopers come down. That's the one where Finn, he's still a stormtrooper at that point, he just happens to get a conscience during this battle, right? Which is the same battle that they capture Poe. So when they get back to the ship, Finn, with his new conscience, he frees Poe. They escape, right? They get struck down or whatever. They crash land back on the same planet, not too far from the same village that has Rey.
Within reasonable walking distance.
Yeah. You cut to a couple. There's a little montage thing of him walking, but still, he walked. He didn't die.
Yeah, it was enough that he could montage from the crash site to the village.
Yeah. There's how many coincidences is that? 2 or 3 now?
What are the odds that you get ejected out of your TIE fighter?
Right.
So hard that it knocks off your cool leather jacket, but otherwise you're unscathed.
That is a good point. That is one thing I didn't put together. So very good. Yes, that's another one. Did he have time to take the jacket off? Like, I don't understand that. Okay, well, anyway. So he just happens to land in the village next to Rey, which that village just happens to have the Millennium Falcon, which she just happens to be able to fly, which just happens to go off planet, which happens to get captured by Han Solo, who just happens to be in the area. Ta-da.
To be fair, Han Solo said, do you think that I'm the only person that this ship would ping up on their radar or something? So it's like he had a...
maybe a tracker or something inside it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, what's that thing when somebody jacks your trut?
Lowjack?
There you go.
He lowjacked the Millennium Falcon?
He lowjacked the Millennium Falcon. And she managed to turn it on and give it enough juice that, you know, Han picked it up on his Wi-Fi signal.
Mm-hmm, and it's kinda, yeah.
Okay, one time... my iPhone was stolen from me,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who took it turned it off immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I was just sitting there waiting for that motherfucker to turn it back on. I mean, really. And I was dumb because I was just like, I've got some personal, maybe compromising information on this phone, and I didn't have a lock on it. So I set it to wipe as soon as he turned it on and got within, like, Wi-Fi range.
Yeah.
So it wiped it, but I was never able to track it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But so, you wiped it, so it's good.
But I wiped it.
Yeah. That's the important... Sometimes the wipe is more important than the track.
It's true.
Yeah.
I will find you, though. Oh, my God. I hope you're listening. He's probably not... This probably isn't that guy's demographic.
Probably not. Although, Star Wars does reach a wide demographic.
It's true.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Talk about coincidence. That would be another coincidence right there, too. Well, that's what I was saying. The first half of the movie is all coincidence. All luck.
Well, since we're on the first half of the movie, Finn goes back to the ship right after they've captured Poe.
Mm-hmm.
And then shiny and chrome Stormtrooper... goes up to Kylo Ren and was like, witness me, senpai. And Kylo Ren's like, I totally saw that guy not participating in our team building exercise that we had down there. What's going on? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'll talk to him.
Hmm.
And this is Gwendolyn Christie.
Right.
Who plays Brienne of Tarth on Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I was super excited.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
She's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And she didn't really do much. She was just like, yeah, I'll talk to him. And then later, Finn's like, hey, let's get out of here. What happened with that? Did she even talk to him?
Apparently not. You know, I've actually heard the comparison online that, what was the character's name? Phasma?
Captain Phasma.
Phasma.
Yeah.
Captain Phasma.
Phasma.
Phasma. You gotta say it like that. A little twang in there. I've heard the comparison that she's this movie's Boba Fett. Like the one person that everybody wanted to see but didn't really do anything.
Easy.
Yeah.
I expected more from her, especially because, like, merchandising wise, dude, they've got Phasma.
A chrome Stormtrooper, come on.
Dude, yeah, it's cool. It's so out there. And it's just like, why is she chrome? What is the deal with those, like, red and black shoulder guards that some of them have? Is that, like, a ranking system that they've got going on? Can we get into this a little bit more? Where'd Phasma come from? And by the way, first time you ever see Lady Stormtrooper.
Right.
Not only that, but, like, she has busted through that glass ceiling. Okay? And she's running the show.
Right.
Not very well, but she's doing it.
It's all about maintaining your position on everything, and she's maintaining being a captain, and that's all she's going to do, because
I want her to be the bad guy.
That ain't going to happen. I'm sorry, because she got captured so easily at the end. Like, did it have to be her that
got captured?
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
to lower the shields and everything. Spoiler alert, right?
I would be a little disappointed. I was disappointed. I'll give you that, but. Maybe it was all part of her plan. Huh? Maybe she's trying to get Hux and Kylo out of the way so then maybe she's the bad guy. Maybe she's Supreme Prime Minister Snoke. I forgot his name.
Or maybe she's a spy for the Resistance.
Or that. Or that. Oh, you know what? Oh, I like where this is going.
Because she did not put up a fight at all whenever they captured her and got her to lower the shields. She was like, oh, you got me. Let me lower the shields for you.
Lower the shields. All right.
You got me. You got me. And did she get out alive?
I think she did. Well, man, she's so cool. How could she not get out alive?
The chrome protected her, right?
Yeah. That chrome was actually like heat resistant, explosion resistant material.
Or a heat insulator, and she fried inside.
Oh, no.
Whichever. I don't know. They just left it open then. We'll just say there was an escape pod next to her and she got out somehow.
I must leave for my home planet.
She'll return again in episode...
Mandalore.
She'll return again in episode 9. Yes. You have to wait a whole episode to see her again.
All right, we're jumping all over the place.
We are jumping all over the place.
All right.
But you know what? It's fine because that's...
A game of coincidences.
Aha, there you go, yeah.
I'm going to move on to number two.
Oh, okay, yes, yes, yes.
This is basically a retelling of New Hope, right down to having to destroy a Death Star by shooting its one weak spot. That was complaint number two from Travis.
Yep. That's, again, going back to, you know, it works because it worked in the first movie, but did you have to repeat the exact same plot in this one? I don't know. They even said, maybe they try to cover themselves because in the little war room scene, when they're going over the plans and everything, and like, oh, it's another Death Star. Just because you say it in the movie doesn't mean it's okay.
But this one's a whole planet.
Right.
It's like five Death Stars put together.
Yeah, so it's got to be, it's bigger, it's better, right?
I mean, let's not even get into the whole logistics of how you would manage to, like, carve a planet in half and turn it into, like, a...
That boggled my mind. Like, I was trying to, like, I'm sure my eyebrow raised a little bit when I saw that, because I was like, what? Because it's a planet,
yeah,
but it's, like, had, like, an indention for the cannon or whatever, or the charge or whatever.
Well, also didn't the planet, like, wouldn't it spin on opposite axis? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that I'm twisting my hands like this, because nobody but you can see it.
Yeah, it helps me out to see what you're talking about. But yeah. But the logistics of that aside, like, it's only been, what, 30 years since Return of the Jedi, roughly? So,
I think, yeah, like 30 or 40.
I think they said it was like 30. I don't know. But anyway, how do you build that? And is that was the built, that whole thing was built, right? Yeah. That's not an actual planet that they.
I mean, where do you get the funding?
Right.
You got to think about like the Panama Canal. Okay. And another thing, when are we going to get that solar technology? Because the solar panels on those things were insane. And where were the solar panels? They could suck the energy from an entire star. And then what happens after that? The sun goes out?
Yeah.
Then what do? You move the entire planet?
That's what I would imagine you'd have to do.
How?
Ask JJ. Because I sure as hell don't know.
You know, sometimes they'll put these books out and they'll be all like, a look inside of the Death Star or the Millennium Falcon.
Right,
have schematics and then like...
Yeah, I want to see some schematics, blueprints on this thing.
The real technical nerds will like pour over them and then they'll just pick apart all the details and like, I want to see...
At the very least, the Lego version of it, just so I can see the mechanics of it.
How is this even feasible? I don't know. But it worked. Moving on. Number three. Oh, this one's sad.
What was
Carrie Fisher and Ford's acting. Fisher and Ford's acting was hard to watch. That's probably more subjective than anything.
Or is it?
No, I agree. It was hard.
Yeah.
I told you, I think, it was like watching a family member that you've known your whole life and you're really fond of get... old.
Mm-hmm. Not age gracefully.
Yeah.
It's just, you could tell they were just kind of phoned in performances to me anyways. Like, I was looking for a hint of the old, you know, Han Solo somewhere in there. But
I didn't feel it.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure you felt the paycheck he got for it, but.
I mean, he just, and maybe.
Granted, he's like, what, 70 years old? 70 something years old? Yeah.
He just seemed tired.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, going back to his age, he's like 70 something years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Carrie Fisher.
I mean, it works for his character because I guess he went through a real messy divorce and God knows what happened to his kids. That probably weighs on him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's still sad about the fact that his like favorite ride got jacked like 30 years ago.
He's got a lot going on.
I mean, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
I'll give that to you. I mean, you kind of expect to find him like, honestly, if they were going to come across him, I wouldn't expect it to be on like another ship. I would be like in a bar, like Grizzly with his head down and Chewie's just kind of like shaking his shoulder. Like, come on, dude, not this again. Something. Right.
Or a couple of growls or whatever. Yeah. I agree. Something was off with his performance of Han. And then Carrie Fisher was just being Carrie Fisher. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but it was just like.
She was hard to watch.
Yeah.
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 Every time they would flash back to one of them, I would just be like, oh.
Now, on a pause.
I'm glad they're back.
Yeah, me too. It was fun to see. The initial reaction is, oh, yeah, they're back. But there's a couple of good moments with them in the movie. There was actually not even with Han, but it was really with her and Chewie.
Yeah.
When Chewie sees her and they hug for a second. I thought that was a nice little touch.
I mean, I appreciate like her agency. Like she's continued even though, I mean, hey, she broke up with Han, I guess, or he left her or whatever. Like crap with her kids went bad. And I'm not saying it's harder for moms when stuff with your kids goes bad.
But
as mom, you know, it's hard.
Well, I'm on a I'm.
And also, it sounds like she's been smoking like 2 packs a day for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, Carrie. That's
sorry.
We have to call you out on it.
I'm sorry.
Just cut back one or two. Just put them down. Just let yourself breathe for a second.
But, you know, you're a general, so that's nice. I mean, right? Like, she's still doing something. She still has some agency, you know. And I'm glad that she was still doing something while Han was just kind of, like, slinking away, moping about this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. And so, like, Han, you ran away from it?
Yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah.
All of it. I wouldn't it's have true.
Expected that from you. I mean, you know, after everything you went through.
Mm-hmm.
You just get tired and you say, you know what? It's just going to keep repeating itself. Sure, we got the Death Star, but there's always going to be another Death Star. And yeah, we got the second one, but you know there's going to be another one. It's probably going to be bigger.
You know what? He's bummed out.
Probably make it out of a whole planet. Who knows?
He's just bummed out because Greedo shot first.
Get off my show.
No, that's the right reaction. Yes. Yes, the dead silence was the reaction of everybody, yes.
Number 4.
Oh, yes.
Kylo Ren. What the fuck?
I've never in the history of in watching movies have I was I intrigued by a character at the start? And then by the end of the about halfway it takes a 180 dive. And cuz look, he starts off like, just a walking, talking badass. Like, he just has a presence of him as he walks out that ship for the first time.
Yeah, and when going back to marketing, Kylo Ren stuff everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was intrigued. I want to know what was up with this dude. And I didn't want to know how he was related or who he was or anything. I just wanted to watch it for the movie. But man, like that opening scene, he was, force blocked a laser blast.
Yeah, and just held it there. Like, yeah. It was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got skill.
Yeah.
We know that. But it wasn't until later on, when he's getting reports and things like that, in their little base, some other lackey or whatever came up and told him that they got away. And then he starts going crazy with his lightsaber.
You mean the toddler like temper tantrum?
Well, I didn't know that's what it was at first. I just thought that he's got anger management issues for sure. But I don't know how to take that as he's unstable and watch out because he's crazy type thing. I didn't know where they were going with that at all. But I thought it was different because we're just so used to seeing Darth Vader just kind of stand stoic and not really do anything.
I mean, I wouldn't put past him to like force choke a guy, but he did it when he was making a point.
Exactly.
And this is just random chaotic tantrum throwing. He's just having a fit.
Okay, now, the first time you saw that, did you say that looked like a tantrum?
Did I think it was a temper tantrum? I didn't know what the first one was, but it did leave me saying, what the fuck was that?
You could probably look around the theater and everybody was probably like, what did he do? Yeah. But that's nothing compared to later on. Which, mind you, we have another big epic battle scene and where he encounters Rey. And there's another cool little force thing he did where like she was pointing a gun at him and he's like... made her slam her arm down, and the way they filmed it, like, they kind of sped up the process a little bit, and she like, jerked. It was a cool effect.
Well, did you get this in the theater? Because I don't know if it was just the speakers were busted out or what, but a lot of the times when Kylo Ren was doing force tricks and shenanigans, the sound worked in such a way.
Kind of staticky.
Well, it shook the air. Like you felt it in your chest and in your bone. Maybe it was just the theater that I was in. And it wasn't even an IMAX.
Maybe it was the moonshine.
Maybe it was. Actually, that was me gonna finish. But like, you know, you felt it in your feet and you're just like, ah, something.
That's just bass.
You didn't get that at all?
All right. No. Well, I thought no, because it sounded. I think I know where you're going. It sounded like more intense. It was unstable.
Yeah.
Like even his lightsaber, if you noticed it, because I noticed it maybe a couple times after using it, it wasn't like a steady stream for this.
It was staticky.
Yeah, it was like all jagged and stuff. It wasn't smooth.
Like he didn't put it together quite right. Like that battery wasn't seated in there just right.
Right. Yeah. Like he was a little kid trying to put together a toy he didn't know how to put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we talking about though? This is Kylo Ren, right? He's not a kid or anything. But anyway, yeah, they capture Rey. They get her clamped down in the interrogation chair or whatever.
Can we talk a little bit about Kylo Ren's interrogation technique?
Sure.
What did you think about that? What was your first impression? Because he does it first to Poe.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But it works.
Yeah. Listeners, you can't see what I'm doing, but if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. He puts that hand out, right. And then you hear like the.
Was that him making the sound effects? Because that'd be funny.
And then Poe's face is all screwed up like it hurts something fierce. But what is he using his occlumency?
Ooh, that's a big word. What's that one?
You haven't read Harry Potter?
I've seen the movies.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, okay, you're in his brain, but what are you doing? Like, what's going on? I don't know. Like,
so basically, he's...
It's like a mind rape or something.
Yeah, a telepath.
Sure.
I guess. Well, I guess they've never really done it before, I guess. No? In Star Wars?
I mean...
Like, literally just going in and taking information out of your brain.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they've ever done it before.
Yeah.
And I guess they can do that. So that just shows you more, like, how powerful and controlling this guy is, right?
Yes. I would say yes, except for what happened at the end of the movie.
I want to talk about this real quick here. Rey's interrogation scene, she says that, I want to see you without your mask. And he takes his mask off.
Did you expect him to take it off?
No.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish he didn't.
Me too.
Or.
Maybe it was the moonshine.
No, this one wasn't the moonshine.
But I just.
At this point, after I saw that, I wish I had some moonshine. Yeah. And I don't even drink.
I have to admit, I laughed.
Oh, I laughed.
I laughed. And then Lynn started laughing.
Did you hear spattering of laughter in the audience?
A little bit. Like they didn't want to, but they couldn't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Dude, the beak on that.
That
guy.
Nose. Oh my. Ooh.
I didn't expect like a Jewish kid that just walked out of a Hot Topic for the first time in his life.
I was not. And the sad thing is, when he takes the helmet off, mask, and he's kind of stands up, he's look like there's nothing going on in the scene. So there's no music, no talking. So all you have to do is absorb what you're seeing. And it makes it even worse. It's like, holy shit, this is it?
Are you serious?
This is the dude? This is bad. Sir Schnozzalot over here.
Like we're supposed to be afraid of this guy or?
And I mean, no offense to Adam Driver. I mean, that was a bad casting choice. I'm sorry.
I'm willing to see where they go with it, but
that was hard to take in.
Delivery, yeah.
That was hard to take because they made such a big deal about him taking the mask off. Like it was just like everybody was asking like who is this guy? Like who is this, you know? And
because I mean, before he took the mask off, there was all these speculation. I'm calling it now. You know, Luke Skywalker's Kylo Ren. You know.
Actually, before I saw the movie, I was thinking Luke Skywalker. But then that very first scene when he's walking out of the thing and you see like how tall and like slender he is, I was like, oh, shit, that ain't no Mark Hamill in that suit, folks. Yeah. unless that's a lot of CGI, I guess. I don't know. But, man, that my anticipation or my excitement for this character, Kylo Ren, went all the way up here. It's like a roller coaster, folks. It's like going up, helmet comes off, there he goes, all the way down. I was like, yeah, you lost me.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, as soon as that scene was over, I was thinking, I'm already picturing like spoof movies, like making fun of that. Like, that's easy. That's like, if the audience is saying that, I know there's someone right now in a writing room. They're plotting that out right now.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be on the posters everywhere. Yeah. Man. And then from there.
I mean, there's a reason emo Kylo Ren has been the hottest trending Twitter handle.
Do you follow him?
I don't follow him, but
have you checked it out?
Yeah, I've checked it out.
Yeah, I've checked it out a couple of times.
And I don't even tweet her a lot, but like, he's got some zingers.
Yeah, there's some funny ones in there. Some of them are like, eh, okay, but some of them are like, okay. The motivation for this guy, I'm still trying, after two viewings of this, I'm trying to wrap my head around it, and I'm just, okay, so we see him earlier on. They showed this little clip in the trailer of the scar, the burned up, deformed Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah, that he somehow gets his hands on.
Yeah, I'm willing to let that go. Like, how he got that, whatever. But apparently his goal is to continue where Darth Vader failed, or to continue his legacy.
Well, where he left off.
He said to continue his legacy.
Did he forget the whole part where, like, Darth Vader sort of went, I changed my mind.
Yes. That was my thought, too. It's like, but didn't Darth, like, revert, you know, kill off the Empire, pretty much?
Just, sort of recanted at the last
minute. Yeah, yeah. And the fact that he only...
For the sake of a family member, mind you.
Yeah, yeah. And your own father. No, not your own father. Excuse me. Never mind. But not only that, but if you want to include the prequels, which... He joined the dark side to save his wife, right? So it's not like he was totally evil in the first place. If you want to include everything about Darth Vader,
I don't know, man. You ever see tiny little kid Anakin Skywalker? You could just look at that kid and tell he had no soul.
Well, yeah, but just because he was a bad actor doesn't mean he had no soul. But
okay, that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, let's not get in that. He was wanting to continue the legacy of Darth Vader, but Darth Vader, and apparently because of that, when he was younger, Luke tried to train him to be a Jedi, and that's when he wanted to continue his legacy of Darth Vader, so he killed, like, other people that Luke was training, apparently.
I think.
It's very vague. Like, everything in this movie is vague.
It's vague, yeah. It just says, like, Luke was trying to train new Jedi, and then one of them went bad and betrayed him. And then Luke was just like, nah, screw it. I'm just going to peace out. And then took off.
Yeah.
And he's been gone for years. And it's just like, that's such a weird thing to do.
Right. Like, you fail, so you leave.
And the thing is it seems kind of heavy-handed for it to be Kylo Ren. Because it's just like, oh, Kylo Ren's a bad guy. So clearly he's the one that like, went bad and, like, shooed Luke away. And what if it's not, though?
Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, it's been vague. And maybe they're doing...
It's all too vague. It's also vague. It can be interpreted anyway.
I don't like it. I want someone to tell me what's going on.
Travis, it's been a real pleasure talking with you this evening, but I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface of this movie.
Wait, how long have we been talking for?
Over an hour.
It hasn't been 5 minutes? Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much going on. We're kind of jumping back and forth, and that's okay. Let's just say... This episode will be our first impressions, and then this will be part one.
Was this an excuse to get me in for another episode?
Yeah.
I knew it.
What can I say? I enjoy your company.
Thank you. I enjoy your company, too.
Thanks.
Right. I see past your ruse. Yeah. No, but it's been really fun. Thank you so much for letting me come on your show and talk about Star Wars.
Hey, this is Popcaster Rewind.
Say that 5 times fast.
Popcaster Rewind. This is our show now.
and if the people like it, maybe they want more. Maybe we can do some other things in the future too.
Yeah, it's a melding of the minds.
Ooh.
You can take my funny jokes, and I'll take your broad audience range.
Well, It's what, five people, so I got like...
All right, chill out. I'm not proposing anything.
Oh, okay.
This is just our first date.
Yes.
Our first podcast.
Yeah. I like it.
That being said, I am going to take just a quick moment to say, loved having you.
Okay.
We're going to come back. How's next week for you?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Next week, we'll come back. We'll get into the real meat and potatoes of Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I was being nice on this show. Wait till the next show. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Did it seem nice to you, listeners? I don't know. Real quick before we go, just want to take a moment to plug Cast Request Nerdy Stuff, the online store. If you would like to support Cast Request financially, but also get some sweet nerd swag in the deal, I have got literally dozens and dozens and dozens of items available for you to purchase. It's t-shirts of all kinds of fandoms. I'm going to have figurines. I'm going to have collectibles. I'm going to have toys. Everything has been personally handpicked by me, yours truly, and you could have it in your home for a fraction of the retail price because I want you to have sweet nerd stuff and I want me to have your money and I want to take it to Dragon Con with me.
You know, I went to that website today. I went on the Nerdy Shop and I gotta say there are some really cool shirts on there.
Thank you.
And for a really low price too.
They are really low price. Yes, they're pre-owned, but I guarantee you I have made sure everything is like new. Some of them still even have the tags. They will be clean. I promise.
Only just a few cat hairs.
There's no hair on it. For a small extra fee, I will rub it on my body.
Ooh.
And you can have the essence of Cast Request. And I'll put it in a little Ziploc baggie for you. And you can just take it out, sniff it whenever you listen to us. It's as close as most of you are ever going to get to us. That's okay.
Unless you ask.
You know, because of the restraining order.
Yeah, yeah.
Check out CasterQuest.com under the new section, Nerd Shop. Also, there's a couple new sections. We've decided we're going to post up our show notes if you'd like to go behind the scenes, or if you'd like to go behind the scenes and watch a video of what it's like to see us recording in the studio. That's me and Aaron. And we'll be posting up more videos about that as we make them whenever Aaron comes back. Our cosplayers of the month have already been announced on CasterQuest.com and our Facebook page. But just to give them a shout out on the air, Simone DeJean of Magical Me Cosplay and Ivan Saffold of Deca Mexican Cosplay. Check out their interviews and their pictures on CasterQuest.com under the section Cosplay Quest. And if you'd like to be our Cosplayer of the Month for the month of January, the very first ones of 2016, be sure to get your entries in by January 15th. That being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you so much, Travis, for having me over to your lovely house with your kitten plates.
Hey, the pleasure's been on the side of the table over here, so...
I'm going to see Travis again, and we're going to be talking Star Wars The Force Awakens in Pop Caster Rewind Part 2.
Aha.
See ya.
Pop your culture.
It's a trap!
Good!
It's a blaster!
Goodness gracious me!
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
All right, cut the chatter.
Wah! That got him!
He's no good to me dead.
There is great disturbance in the Force.
The shield is down!
A Jedi craves not these things.
Mos Eisley Spaceport.
This is madness!
You must learn the ways of the Force.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.